paragraph from yesterday, which maybe we'll get back to later when we do the Gemara Batzmora, it relates to a question that Johnny brought up in breakfast from what we talked about in Shir yesterday. We brought up the possibility that there's no muksa for mechubar. And the question is, then why is it that things that are nitlash on Shabbos are muksa? Maybe they shouldn't be muksa. Because, after all, when they were attached to the ground, they were not muksa. And now that they're detached from the ground, why should they become muksa? So, why should it be nolad? Especially if you hold that, the way we pasken for Shimon. So the truth is that maybe the answer is in a chanami. If you look at the Magen Avraham, which we quoted earlier, the reason is that it's gzeira shemayal of yitlosh, meaning to say, now there's a steer in the Magen Avraham possibly, but at the very least, the answer might be that it's not altsmuksa. It's not altsmuksa. Now, there's a bit of a stira in this, and again, that's why we're going to get back to the sugya a little later on. There's a Mishnah Brura, Shin Yud Beis Yud Zayin, that seems to be makel, that simple reading, that things that are attached to the ground, like asabim, are not muksa. But in Shin Lamed Hey, Chav Dalet, I think. Shin Lamed Vav Chav Dalet. Shin Lamed Vav Chav Dalet. He says that, like, let's say you're walking through the grass and, I don't know, barefoot, and you come home and you see, like, in between your toes there are some pieces of grass, so those are muksa. Careful when you try to take them off. But that's not necessarily a raya, because... Now, in that case, there's no gzeira shemayal of yitlosh, so according to what we're saying, there should be muksa. Except maybe that's different, because maybe those are brought away for animals. The gzeira is for fruit, or things like that. As I said, this comes up in the Sugyas Mora, which we're going to see soon. And the answer, there might be a chiluk between, and this is already Mavorna Rishona, maybe there's a difference between if they're muhan l'shimush or they're not. So we're going to return to that question, but at the very least, that's maybe the answer to your question is in a chanami. Okay, so keep your eyes open for that. Really, what I wanted to talk about today, the topic we began discussing yesterday, is the question of yichud, and we'll start with Shitas HaRambam. We'll see that in discussing this topic, when you look at the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef and the like, you see something very interesting, which is until now, we've sort of been taken for granted that tiltal looks as aser, but if there's no tiltal, then it's mutter. There's no iser shtamshus b'muksa. And when you start reading the Rishonim on our sugya and the poskim, look at the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe, you see that this isn't so simple. It's not so simple the other way either. Let's start with the Rambam. I don't know how much, if we're going to have a chance to get to all Rishonim, and I really do want to get to at least to some degree the Lamaisa on this topic, but we'll start with the Rambam. And the Rambam Shita is very fascinating on this, and very very obscure. This is Chaf Hei Chaf Aleph. Nidvach Shel Avonim. If everyone recommend, if you have a Rambam available to open it up, Nidvach shel avanim shechishev alav ba'od yom im limdum mutter leishev alayka lemachar bim lav asr. So Nidvach shel avanim, that you're mechashev mibodio, and your limdom then mutter leishev. Sounds like just leishev, not letaltel. It also sounds like if you didn't have this, in other words, you weren't chishev alam mibodio, you weren't limdom, then it would be aser leishev. Lead on and around them. Chario shel dekel shegir dan le'etzin v'nim lachalayim v'yar shabbos li'yeshiva then motor l'taltala. So Rambam is being machalik between avanim and charios. We've already seen this. Let's say one answer in Tosfos made this chila. Tosfos and Rosh, we discussed this possibility yesterday. Avanim are much more muksa than charios. For to make avanim non-muksa, you have to do a lot more than charios. Charios, all you need is nimlach aleihem yeshiva. Then, and not only that, but once you have nimlach aleihem yeshiva, then they're mutter betiltel. So there's a couple of differences between avanim and charios. When it comes to avanim, so first of all, chishev is not enough. If you have chishev plus limdun, then there's still muksa, but mutter be yeshiva. Whereas charios, if all you have is nimlach aleihem, so then they're not only mutter b'yeshiva, but mutter b'tilta. So what's the difference between avanim and charios? So far, what do we know? So yesterday we saw Tosfos. Tosfos told us that the chiluk was how common it is. Is it an unlikely thing or not? Is it the end of Tosas Va'azdu? And put chaf in the base. Tosas actually has two answers. It's important to know. Hasan Ravasi, as opposed to here to Rav Yasi. So the first answer sounds probably like Chariyo Sheldeko and Avanim are the same. It's actually Machlok Bes. Inami, Re'uya Nehem Yeshiva Tveya Avanim. So I can answer, which is more along the lines of the Rambam, is that Chariyos is normal to sit on Chariyo Sheldeko. It's not so normal to sit on Avanim. And therefore, you need to do something more substantial for Avanim. So our sugya, Kuchlof Hemi Beis, is clarifying about what you do when you're trying to redesignate something abnormal for Shimush. And the sugya earlier, Charios was talking about what do you need to do to do something normal, to redesignate something from Muksa to non-Muksa, but something that to redesignate it for normal use. And at first glance, that's what the Rambam is doing as well. However, the Rambam is much more nuanced, because the Rambam from Tosfos, the only difference is, you know, what do you need to do? For Chario Shel Dekel, you don't need to do very much at all. All you need to do is sit on them or be miyachid them, decide to use them, or sit on them, that's good enough for deco. Whereas for an Evan, so then you need to do, even the lenient opinion says you need to do some type of maisa kolto, like shifshu, right? But once you've done that, presumably they're the same. In other words, to make them into non-muksa, for now we'll say to make them into keil, so admittedly, Tosas did say that. Maybe it's not right, but we'll just we'll assume that for now, to make them into kalim, or to make them into non-muksa, what do you need to do? So if it's abnormal, so then you need a maisa called who, according to the lenient opinion. There's still a question which opinion do we paskin like, but even if you accepted that we paskin like the lenient opinion, so to make them into non-muksa, if it's an unusual type of usage, so then you need to do a maisa called who. And if it's a common type of usage, then you need either machshava or yeshiva. The Rambam, though, perhaps the differences between Evan and Dekel might be normal. I don't know, he doesn't tell you. But there's a lot more, because what does he say? He says, for Avanim. So here, first of all, the Rambam is paskening not like the lenient view, but the stringent view, meaning to say, limdom, right? Now, at least according to Rashi's reading of the Gemara, limdom meant what? You can't make them non-muksa, b'machshava, or even a small maisa, so you're stuck, right? Shifshif isn't going to help you, so therefore, limdom. Now, when you read Rashi, at least when I read Rashi, I sort of assumed, what does that mean? That if you do limdom, they're still muksa. Now you're allowed to sit on them. And what about if you didn't do limdom? Would you be allowed to sit on them? Sure. It's not like you're being mati or sitting on them. Rather, the way Rashi seemed to explain is that since tomorrow you're going to want to sit on them, so make sure to set them up before Shabbos. But let's say you hadn't done limdom and you just found a stone that you'd like to sit down on. That would be totally okay for Rashi. Whereas for the Rambam, that's clearly wrong. The Rambam is telling you that the opinion that's machmir in our Gemara being Chokha anyways, the opinion that's machmir in our Gemara is saying that without limdom, there asur be yeshiva. Right? It's not that limdom is practical, since you can't demuxify them, so set them up before Shabbos where you know, in the way you, whatever you want them, put them into rows before Shabbos, so that way you could, practically, you'll have them available. But the Rambam says, no. If I didn't do anything at all, what's the halacha? It's asur be yeshiva. If I do limdom, what's the halacha? Mutter be yeshiva, but asur be tiltal. Whereas charios, so they're more lenient. Then, if I simply sit on them or are machashaving them, nimlach aleim yeshiva, so then they're non-muksa. They're non-muksa. Mutter matilta. They're kalim. They're kalim. So that's the Rambam Shita. Now, what's the difference? Is it just a matter of commonality? That's one question. Another question is, what type of stones are these? In other words, why is it usser to sit on them if low limbo? And here, we really have two possibilities. One possibility is because of tiltal, and to make a new kimta neraka. We're talking about stones that are not so big that when you sit down on them, they're going to move. Of course, everybody would agree that if the stone doesn't work, move. Let's say it's a big stone, or a flat stone on a flat surface, so it's not going to move. It doesn't have to be that big, I think. If you sat down on a cinder block also, it would move. Something that's on a flat surface. But anyway, the point is that if it doesn't move, then there's nothing to talk about. Because why would it be usher? Of course, yeah. So the stone is muksa, but what's wrong with sitting down? And we'll say, and it's not a bad to say, but we'll make an kimta to the Rambam that we must be talking about over here stones, you know, wobbly stones. And that's why, if limdom, then it's mutter be yeshiva. But there's basically no way to demuxify them. Maybe if you did a big maisa, you could. If you fashioned your stone into a chair or a bowl or something like that. It's not like you can't change it. But that's not what we're talking about here. In other words, shifshuf or something like that certainly wouldn't work. You can't, by doing something small, demuxify a stone. The most you could do is matir yeshiva, dahainu matir tiltul, not tiltul biyadayim, but indirect movement of some sort, right? In other words, the result of sitting, right? That's what the Rambam say. In other words, if we're talking about, according to this first possibility, if we're talking about a stone that doesn't move, so then, of course, you could sit on it regardless of limdo. If we're talking about a stone that wobbles, so then limdom is matir yeshiva, but not tiltul. Whereas, when it comes to charyos, so then either machshava or yeshiva is matir tiltul, gives a taras kli. In other words, what's the Rambam saying? Limdom does not give this taras kli, but it's matir yeshiva. It's matir what you designated it for. You designated them for yeshiva, so you could do yeshiva. Could you do anything more? No. No. But you could do that. That's option one in the Rambam. And obviously that option allows us to keep our presumption that tiltul is fundamental, and mux is fundamental, and it's a tiltul no more. But it forces us to come up with this very interesting category, namely something which is half muksa, right? It's still muksa, but mutter and yeshiva, even though that's normally usher. That's option one.
Doesn't the Bible have such a category?
Okay, we'll see. There's we're going to get to lots of Rishonim discuss this issue, but I'm just right now. Let's try to read the Rambam on his own terms, and then we'll consider what other Rishonim say. Option B in the Rambam is going to be to say no. The Rambam didn't say anything about this being a stone that's movable, a wobbly stone. The Rambam would actually aser sitting on a stone even if it doesn't move. And then the Rambam is saying something very fascinating. It's presumably an iser shtamshus b'moksa. So if this stone, if you weren't limdom, then you can't sit on it even though it doesn't move. Not because of tiltul, but because of ishtamshus b'moksa. Limdom allows for ishtamshus b'moksa, though tiltul would still be aser. The only way to be matir tiltul is by making it into a kli. And you can't do that with a small maisa, right? And the mile of that shot is that then you don't have to have this very halfway category of something that's half muksa, such that it's mutter, betiltel, al yidei yeshiva, but also betiltel, b'yadayim. No. The Rambam's saying that, to be matir tiltel, you need to make it into a kli. If it's muksa, then it's aser even b'shtamshus, but limdom is matir hishtamshus, in other words, yeshiva, but not tiltul. To be matir tiltul, you need to make it unmuksa. So, both readings of the Rambam are quite mechudash. In other words, either way, the Rambam is like changing our perception massively of muksa. The question is exactly which way he's changing it. Now, those are just the two readings of the Rambam. We still, though, didn't address the other question of what's the difference between charyos and evan. Now, maybe we can look at the words carefully and see some interesting things here. The Rambam says about charyos shel dekel, and it's really the lashon of the Gemara, charyos shel dekel shel gidran le'etzin v'nimlach aleihen me'erish shalos le'yeshiva. So maybe the Rambam is telling us something quite interesting. What made the Ischarios Sheldeka Muksa in the first place. It was me. It was my designation. Shegidron Leitzim. In other words, I was machaving to, I was mocked to them by designating them for firewood. And therefore, Memeila, I can de-designate them, unmuxify them, simply by Nimlach Alein Liyeshiva. In other words, to put it a little differently, maybe the difference between a stone and these dekel, these chariot shel dekel, why is a stone muksa? Is a stone muksa because I was makted? Or no? Stone's muksa regardless of me. I wasn't the one that made stones muksa. So therefore, to demuxify them, I'm going to need something much more substantial. Machshava doesn't work. Machshava might be matri yeshiva, however you understand that, whether that's tiltal b'miktas or shtamshos, right? Machshava could do that, but no more. To make them not muksa, I wasn't the one that made a muksa, so machshava or even ma'isa katan isn't going to work to demuxify them. I'm going to need something much more substantial. Whereas when it comes to chayo shel dekel, all I'm doing is nimlach, right? It's much less. And that's a deal that the Milchamos makes explicitly, as we'll see in a moment. Now, so those are two readings of the Rambam. And this question will also be relevant, I'll take your question, but we'll get to it in a moment, in terms of dealing with the Chaf base and specifically Kash and Dirt. Let me first take your question.
In second meaning in this realm of...
Meaning that there's a normal Isser, that there's an... the first, that there's an Isser of Ishtamshus Moksa even without Tilton.
Yeah.
Yes. What? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that either.
Rashi said that.
So that's an interesting shaila. It's very interesting. But regardless of that question, in other words, I'm not necessarily taking stands on that. Rashi certainly emphasized that. But even if it's true, I would disagree with your categorization of muksa maksa and kiss, because muksa maksa and kiss is a category of iser and kalim, and this certainly is not a clue. So I definitely would not hold up. I would not use that word.
Yeah, it could be applied to the case of bricks, which are building material.
Who's we?
The Ritva says that it's muksa maksa and kiss.
Correct. But let's talk about the Rambam. I think the pashtus is that the category of muksa machlas chisam kiss, shall we otherwise, is a principle in kalim. Now, the reason why you could say what you're saying is because you could say the act of shaping these stones could have made it into a kli, and therefore possibly but the Rambam, I don't know. The Rambam doesn't even say, what does Nidvach Shalavana mean? It doesn't necessarily mean, Rashi says these are shaped bricks, shaped stones. Rashi didn't say anything. I thought this was just, for the Rambam, probably just a pile of stones. Might be that I gathered a pile of stones. But there's no indication that they have taras kli, such that I will now say that muksa al muksa machmas lisan kiss. Nidvach implies a pile of stones.
Row of stones, no?
What?
Row of stones.
Row of stones?
A row of stones.
Okay. Does that mean I shape them or not?
I mean, like a Mishnah, I would not mean so.
Yeah, I definitely, these are a pile of stones that I made for building. Who says they're shaped? Anyway, I still don't think this makes that much of a difference regardless.
The Shinu Nuscho says, I don't know if Midbach means anything significantly different, but the Shinu Nuscho says it might be Midbach and not Midbach. I don't know if...
Okay, I don't know what the difference is either. But anyway, the point is that... What you're saying to your reading of the Rambam, in a sense, is a much, much bigger chiddush. Because you're saying that even something with tolus, kli, you basically can't redesignate. In other words, the way I'm reading the Rambam is this is not tolus kli. This is Muxamachman's Ufo. And therefore, it's no, but you're saying you're effectively making much bigger things because you're saying that the Rambam is saying even something that starts clean, you can't be designated.
I don't know, I was saying that could lose Muxamachman's
Ufo. Why? But I was Muxamachman's I was the one who told me Maxa. It's only Muxa.
Very, very tall, honest.
But it's all me. It's my Haktza.
Okay.
It's very hard to imagine that.
Yeah, well, who are you kidding? You rearrange them. It's a little bit.
Anyway. Okay, you're right. Fine. I don't know if it's a bigger chiddush or a smaller chiddush. I don't think that we're talking about Muxamachman's Ufo at all here, and because we're not talking about Caleb. Now, Yoni said that the Ritva says that Nidvach Shel Avanim is Muxamachman's Ufo.
Not Nidvach Shel Levanim is Muxamachman's Ufo.
Okay, but that.
Yeah, no, that might not be right.
So when the Rambam said they.
The Levanim.
Yeah.
No. If Aktsinu, why are they also if Aktsinu?
Right.
Sagenu, Vaday Aktsinu.
Right.
So the Ritva says that's
Chasukis. But that's also, right, that's a very different case. To me, and to be honest, I don't even think of the possibility. So I need to think about it. But at least my off the cuff reaction is that. The context of the Rambam, it's very hard to imagine that we're dealing with a kli here. The Gemara at the end brings up the possibility of Muslims and Kis when it gets to Gosha. In that, it's a kli, and therefore, Mandar Magosha Shkoskin Sawar, Mandar Mersawar of a Gosha Shkapada. Because a gashus is a kli, and therefore might be asr al tzmatzamach asr on kiss. But anyway, the answer, the simple answer is that an evan is not a kli, and therefore it's not in the parsha of tzmatzamach asr on kiss at all. That's why I don't think that's correct.
Even an evan that's a much older than a building?
That's not what we're talking about here anyway. We're talking here about a pile of stones.
What do you mean by those stones?
Maybe that would depend on whether they're shaped or not. In other words, stones that are shaped are in the parsha that are left over could be begadir. In other words, if they're like a brick. So shaped stones might be like a brick, and we saw what the Rambam says about bricks. Whereas unshaped stones are non-cave. Yeah.
Otherwise,
it would be like. So that's what I was assuming. Because I was taking that for granted, that we're talking about a vine. Now, what's interesting is that you're pointing out that Rashi said they are shaped. No, he doesn't. He just says, Avanim Siduros Muxis Levanim. Nobody says they're shaped stones, are they? I guess Soros or Koros would be relevant. Because Koros. Well, not necessarily, but there's. So I think the Pashup shot is that here we're talking about, certainly in the Rambam, we're talking about unshaped stones, gathered stones for binyan, right? A person made a pile of stones to build a house. And then the question is, you know, what can you do to allow for sitting on a pile? And that's the discussion around the Mara. That's why it's different than the leftover bricks. And now, so now the Rambam is telling us that, again, when you didn't do anything, so then they're usher b'yeshiva. Option A, because that's tiltal. Option B, because there's an isher shtam shus by muksa. If you do limdom, then in mutter b'yeshiva usher b'tiltal. Right? And here too we have those two options. Now, and then the question is, what's the difference between avanim and dekel? And again, this would be a chiluk either way. And maybe the answer is, what is the basis of their haktah, right? So when it comes to stones, their muksa, their haktah, has nothing to do with me or my decisions. They're inherently muksa. Now, I'd like to actually return to, in a couple minutes, that concept. I'm going to clarify what do you mean by here, and the muksa, but for now I'm going to ignore it. Point is, their iser status, their muksa status, has nothing to do with me, and therefore to demuksify them requires something quite substantial. Whereas when it comes to Haryoshel Dekel, the truth is they're only muksa because my decision, because I was designated them for firewood, and Mimela, you know, Pashasra Pashetu. I was the one that was moxa them, so it's very easy to demoxify them, to make them into a kli. They are fundamentally a kli. They were cut down, and they could go both ways, and therefore it's easy. So it's not just, maybe, a matter of what Tosfo says in terms of whether this is regular or not, but rather, and maybe that is, but maybe more meduyuk would be to say that the question is, what is the basis of this being muksa? And my ability to demuksify it relates back to why it's muksa, at least to some degree. Now, I'd like to go back to Chav Beis and explain Chav Beis and Lada Chav Aleph, but maybe just for one moment to take a pause and talk about whether this possibility that we suggested, namely that there's an iser hashtamshus for muksa, even when there's no tiltal, is that crazy? And maybe it's the Rambam, but if nobody else said it, maybe we would be more inclined to go with the first Ukimta reading, namely to say that we're talking about wobbly stones. So there's one Rishon, at the very least, that states it explicitly. This is a Rashban Beya, Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, in Shabbos Harib. I think he's Lashitasa also there in Beya. But here he says like this, talking about the wood. Shalo Asru Ela L'Talt. So we know that he says basically if the muksa wood falls into my fire, so the implication of the Gemara is that it would be usher to stir it up, to stoke the coals, to move around the fuel, but otherwise it would be mutter. In other words, there's no issue of, if I don't need to mix up the wood, I can just leave it there and passively benefit from this muksa log in my fire, that would be no problem. Shelo asru ela l'taltalo, alachlo, v'afil l'shtamish bo b'yadayim, kigon hadlako l'smoch bo kari hamita. Vafilu b'makomo she'eno mezizo u'metaltalo. Aval hana'a haba mimeila shapir dami. The reason why it's okay in that case is because it's hana'a haba mimeila. So what's asr? What's asr is ishtamshus. And not only that, but even vafilu b'makomo she'eno mezizo u'metaltalo. The footnote over here quotes the Marsha in Beil on the Gimel and Aleph that says that you see from here that Tashmish b'muksa is like Achila. And we will see that the Magen Avraham denies this possibility. But if you look at I'm sorry?
I was asking, could they eat someone
getting
burned?
One second. The Magen Avraham doesn't like this possibility. If you look at the Magen Avraham, if you look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, on that Magen Avraham, meaning to on Shin Chaf He Sif Kut and Tes of the Magen Avraham, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, look, you see from this Rashba that it would be Aser to sit on a stone. Now, then he writes, just in terms of what Johnny was saying, Elim Kein Titchi Deshani Hacha Demikli Kalia Isura Ha Bemukza Be'en Aser Lehanos Mimenu. In other words, Mukza Be'en is even worse. Varishon Iker. So, one way or the other, though, the Rashba tells me what the Rambam might be saying as well over here, that there is a Isser to sit on a stone that's Muksa. Now, Ike asks, well, if that's true, so then why should we be able to walk on the ground? Maybe we should just float on Shabbos or stay at home. So I think the answer is that walk on the ground isn't Hishtamshus B'Muksa. So then you could ask, Maishna sitting, Maishna walking. The answer is that the way I think the easiest way to say it is sitting on a stone is using the stone as a kli. In other words, a chair is a kli, and now I'm using something mux in place of a kli. So the Isser Shtamshus is Hishtamshus B'Taras kli. Maybe that's one way to look at it.
So you wouldn't be able to sit on the ground on Shabbos?
So, no, maybe, but I don't think so. I think that sitting on the ground would be fine. Well, first of all, maybe there's no muksa on the chuber. But even if we didn't say that, then that's not that's the same thing as walking. In other words, a chair is allowing me not to sit on the ground. It's a utensil that allows me to sit without sitting on the floor. The rock is taking the place of a kli. The ground is just being the ground. So when I sit on the ground, that's totally okay. But when I sit on a rock, I'm being mishtamish b'muksa as a replacement of a kli. It's a shtamsh, and that's what's asur. That's what's sort of similar to achila, if you want to say it the way the Maharsha says it. I don't know if you have to say it that way. This is a fascinating idea, but it's so far maybe the Rashi does seem to say it, or maybe the Rambam says it. When you look at the Mordechai quoted by the Darkei Moshe over here, the Mordechai also considers that possibility. This is the Darkei Moshe in Sifkan Ches and Simen Shin Ches. Yesh omrim, dafka b'chario shaldeko pligi misham de mezizan k'shiyoshiv alein, aval avanim shari de'en mezizin. And that's the Makel view. Sorry, the Machmir, I started too late. The aval Mordechai pasak badya de'en chiluk b'en avanim l'charios v'adira b'kazad yesh omrim dafka b'charios. So at least one opinion here in the Mordechai might not be accepted. And then he says, "Avetmihani shalohevi beisus the Mordechai v'ktas mashma kein baran." All right, that's the Ran is a very interesting thing. Anyway, yeah, there might be other shitos as well that hold of this. As I mentioned, the Magen Avraham tries to deny it, but I think it's the easier read of the Rambam in the sense that you don't have to make any ukimtas. Now. Yeah.
You say that the ground is different because that's beautiful for walking in Shiva or stone.
You could. It's a possibility. In other words, the whole ground of the earth is miyuchad for walking on, which is matir walking and sitting. But yeah. I don't know if that makes too much sense because then I'll say every stone in the world is miyuchad for sitting.
We saw that stone that are comfortable sitting.
Okay.
The Yerushalmi says that. The Ran says that.
Yeah. That's not my spot, I guess.
You're right. He quotes the Yerushalmi.
Yeah.
The ground. Right, and then you're saying since it's mutter, but it's only mutter to walk. That's it.
Maybe it's not listed as well. I'm saying I'm just pointing out the stones be able to rub it.
Stones are worse.
Whereas ground, no.
Upper is also mutter.
No, but it's not. Is this, if you look at the Ramban over here, he has this idea of this idea that either way, the Rambam is saying that hetirul osim lacha, in other words, that limdom by the aven doesn't make it not muksa, but it's matir this. Right? Anyway, this idea that you see in the Rambam so is developed in the Rambam as well. Now, since it's late, what I want to do, there's a lot to talk about and a lot of the Rishonim and in the Sugya, and also a lot is very unclear to me. But I want to skip to, even though again we're going to hopefully get back to Shulchan Aruch, but just talk a little bit about Lemaisa. What comes out according to the psak of the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Mishneh Berurah, and the like. So the first question is like this. Interesting question. What about, we sort of took for granted that you need to do this yichud, whatever we're talking about, whether it's the Charyos or the Aven or the like, before Shabbos. So what about if I want to do it on Shabbos? What about if, let's say I decide on Shabbos, we'll say for a moment that, let's say, Yichud La'olam works, right? We'll talk about what exactly, but Yichud La'olam works, Pashtas, for just about everything. Just about everything Yichud La'olam works. So let's say I take a stone on Shabbos, and I want to permanently designate the stone as a door opener. So we all take for granted that it's pashat, that is asa. And I think that's true in halacha. But maybe we should stop and think, why? Now, what do you mean, why? Why don't we say migu diskatzai? Well, the answer is very simple. Why don't say migu diskatzai? Because why is the stone asa in the first place? Is it because that was makzit? Right. We know Reb Shimon agrees to muksa when you are dechinu biyadayim plus lo chazi. So it's not really dechinu biyadayim, even if we're going to say it's lo chazi, because normal stone, you know, there's no normal function for a stone. That's not like stone in the forest. We don't consider the things that you could do with it, like a paperweight or door opener or almond crusher as another attachment, fine, that I could understand. But is there really dachinu? So maybe, yeah. You're a person who's docha everything in the world before Shabbos, every stone and the like. And, you know, maybe that's a possibility within Rashi, with a low tenu, that you can't have this type of passive. But I think that's not the pashtos. And I think there's really two mahalchim that you could say. One mahalich, and this is in the Chai Adam, is that, you want to know where? There you go. Okay, the Chai Adam. And he says that the reason is because there's no hachana. This brings us back to the very first year that we had this summer. We noted that there's a principle, maybe midoraisa, maybe a smachta, of the hechinu. And then we started talking about Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and we like forgot all about the Hechinu. And we probably forgot about it because it doesn't seem like at the very least Rabbi Shimon requires Hachana. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does, but certainly not Rabbi Shimon. There's a Rashi Beitza, maybe that sounded that way. But maybe that's not true. Maybe things like a stone is aser because there's no achana. And that's why, so there's achana on all kalim, except for, and all ochel and the like, except when you're makteh. So once something is an ochel or kli, that's when we start requiring things like a dechinu biyadayim plus lo chazi, like a muksamachsan kiss, or Globos Vitzimukin, or Postcard Rashashis.
We shouldn't define it.
Yeah. This
not
level
not
of. Rashi Beitza doesn't sound. So, that's what. Why in eight Avanim, even according to Shimon, there are circumstances that there's lack of Hachana. That's one possibility. And then, again, when it comes to Ochel and Kalim and the like, so that's when we say it's always Muchan, except for when you are Dechinu B'Yadayim and Slo Chazan. The other possibility is to say, I guess this is the third possibility, is to say, no. Maybe you don't need Hachana, and maybe it's not Matzah B'Yadayim. The Isser of Muksa, when they were misaking it, whenever exactly they were misaking the original Muksa, simply, they said that everything is muksa except for ochel and kelim. Kisvei kodesh, shite. It's muksa. And that's why, So that's sort of what, at least when I started thinking about this question, I thought of that those are the three possibilities. Now, let's stop for a second and consider this question. So why can't you, on Shabbos, we decide that you're going to permanently turn this stone into a doorstop. So if you hold of the idea that your makta, so then it's very simple. And we'll say, okay, nigu diskatzai, if you think that's a possibility, that your makta every stone in the world. If you think that's not a possibility, so if you learn like the chachmas chayadam, then it makes also a lot of sense. It's asur because there's no achana. You can't change your mind in an old Shabbos because there's still no achana. And the fact that you can't change your mind in an old Shabbos is evidence for this idea that you need achana. Then there's a third possibility, which I would have thought is very surprising. But Rav Nenenzahl is a fan of, and that is actually, fundamentally, you could make it not muksa if you really want. And he brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Akiva Eger says, we're going to get to this later, but if you assume raw meat is muksa, but why? Because it's inedible for humans and it's not designated for animal food. This is a big machlokas, but let's assume that way. You don't give raw meat to your animals because raw meat is very expensive and you give your animals junk food. Quality meat. But he says, let's say in the middle of Shabbos you decide, okay, well, I'm going to give this to my dog. So then you could, and it would be mutter to move it. But why? The answer is, says Renenzal, because he holds this idea. He says that the only Rabbi Yehuda, the Chazon Ish says, if you're right, so then you should also be able to take every rock and turn it into a doorstopper on Shabbos. And it's quite clear from our Gemara, you can't, right? They were stuck in all these cases if they hadn't done Hachan before Shabbos. And that's all. The answer is, that's a problem. It's nothing to do with Muksa. It's quasi-makabipatish, as you're giving a Taurus Kli. It's like Tefillin HaMikvah, or something like that. Where when you turn something into a kli, and here's a bigger chiddush because it's really just with your decision. And since there's no makabatish for ochel, so it's mutter for ochel and not for this. So, in other words, what is this opinion assuming? That the reason why the Evan is muksa is not because of Migu Diskatsai, because then you couldn't change it. And it's not because you need Hachana, because you can't change it. And Rabbi Shimon, after all, doesn't hold of Hachana. And there's no Migu Diskatsai, there's no Dachinu Biyadayim, right? So if Dachinu Biyadayim doesn't make sense, and Hachana doesn't make sense, what's left? Only one possibility, which is like we said, that it's muksa because it's not ochel and it's not a kli. So memela, there should be nothing wrong with designating it as an ochel and a kli on Shabbos. Except, and that works taka for ochel, and you run into problems with kelim, not for muksa issues, but because of another iser of makom patish, tikkun kli, and the like. So that's a remarkable possibility. But I think the pashtus is, like the Chai Adam, the simplest answer is like the Chai Adam, that maybe comes out that even Rabbi Shimon requires some level of achana. Okay, good. So you did it before Shabbos. You did it before Shabbos. So what's the halacha? What do you need to do before Shabbos? So when we look at the Shulchan Aruch, we're really very confused. Maybe later on, when we go through Shulchan Aruch, we'll go through all the different things he says, because you have to really work out what he holds. It's very, very confusing. But more or less, what comes out is the following. We'll talk about what type of yichud you need to do, and then we'll talk about what type of ishtamshus you need to do. So first, what type of yichud you need to do, right? So here will be mechalek between something normal and something abnormal. Now, it's important, obviously, to remember when we're doing this that we can't necessarily use the categories of the Shulchan Aruch because, let's say, in the olden days, Chari Yoshel Dekel, using them in yeshiva was something normal. It probably isn't anymore. But when it comes to something that this is a normal use for this thing, now, normal doesn't have to mean, I think, it's like the typical use. It might be pretty atypical, but it's normal enough. So then there is a debate whether you need yichud li olam or not. This is a machlokas rishonim quoted in Beis Yosef, Rosh, and Iran. And we paskin that if you have yichud li olam, that certainly works. What about if you have yichud, l'shabbos achas? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, b'makom hatzorech you could be meko. In other words, let's say, I think it's reasonable, I don't know, do you think it's normal to use a rock as a door stopper? In camp, it's certainly reasonable. Okay, so let's talk about a rock in camp. So a rock in camp, so then yichud li'olam certainly works. And Shabbos achas, so it's Shas HaTzorach. Now, what opinion is that? So it's a Yesh Omrim, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, in Sifchav Beis, Aval. I'm sorry? No, we're talking about here normal. It's a yesh. That's the yesh mishal and the low shna. Right, let's read the tzav days. Also, lachasas piachavis piyevin, obitachas barohan, nesadelas, olachas barohan, bivarza, that's like to, you know, fix your barez, to use the stone. Afa mishapash alam, yvod yomasim. Right, to use the stone for these things you need yichdil. Aval miyichdil shabbos zebul vadlo. Vahani mili b'davar shein dark liyach. That's what's unusual. To go and hani down these things. Aval b'chol midi d'orchei b'achi. To go and lefto b'obozim. So to use a stone as a nutcracker. Yichdil shabbos zesagi. Then yichdil shabbos echad works. V'yesh misha omer. Aaron the Loshe. No, no. Now, there's even if something common, you need to use the Yod. This is the Shibul HaLeket. The Chazon Ish points out it's not just the Shibul HaLeket, it's a lot of Rishonim. It's the opinion of the Ramban, and the Ritva, and the Baal HaMor, and the Ran. But, so how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins in Sifkat and Tzadivav, will the any immediate orachi v'achi when it's common? Nira de b'makom atzorech, yesh lismach l'achal zavi yichod v'chav zila. So, makom atzorech, it's mutter. Shalom makom atzorech, it's b'machmer. Chazon Ish is more into the machmer shita. What does it mean it's mutter b'makom atzorech? So, it would seem that that means that it is mikra din it's mutter. You know, the real halacha is like the Stam opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, that when it's common, Shabbos Achas is enough. But since they're machmirim, you should try to be machmir normally. And that's why there are a couple of other places where he seems to be sosin wahakel. One of them is Simon Shin Gimel, Sif Katan Ein Gimel, where we're using like a round type of stone for a replacement of it, like instead of a button. There he didn't mention that you need Makom Sorech. Also, by the Dershu points out, by Kinuach, the Shar Tzion, Shin Yud Beis of Katan Zayin writes that the Iker Halacha is like the Mekilah. So if it's common, then Mikra Din were Mekel, but Shalom B'Makom Tzorech, you should be Machmir and insist on Yichud Liola. If it's uncommon use, so then for sure, you need Yichud Le'olam. Now, the Ramah wrote in Sif Chaf Aleph, Hagav Yeshomim, Didin Avanim Kedin Charyos, the Chenikar, which means to say that even Yichud Shabbos Achas, even for unusual use, is Mutter. And that is the position of some Rishonim, Mordechai. However, the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tzadi says, I'm Magen Avram, Shehizik al-Ramah, and we should really follow the first opinion, the Machmir opinion, the Machaber, that you need Yichud Li'olam. So again, if it's an unusual use, you need Yichud Li'olam, and we don't accept the Ramah that was Meiko. For usual use, Yichud L'Shabbos Achas is enough, but when there's not much of a tzarech, you should be Machmir and require Yichud Li'olam. What about using the muksa, under what are the halachos in those cases? So again, here too, we have a distinction between if it's normal or not. If it's normal, then using it just once is enough. And that's what we say, for example, by Charyos, like the Rambam said, that if you are miyached them or you use them, then it's going to be a good enough. It says Chari of Sheldekel Shekitzitzam Lasreifa Muktzim Heim Basel Talfalan Yashav Aleim Ma'at Mivod Yom Mutter Leish Aleim B'Shabbes. Good. So then, and if it's not normal, so then we know it doesn't work. Like the stone. There's a discussion if it's not normal, and you didn't designate it Leolam, but you used it a bunch of times. In other words, let's imagine. Let's say in the city. So using a stone for a door opener is quite uncommon, right? But I did that. Sunday I came, my door kept on slamming shut, and I took a stone and I used it to hold open. I used it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Never did Yichud Li'olam. I just used it the whole week. So this is a debate. This is a debate whether that's good enough. It's cited over here in the Orcho Shabbos on page Kud Yod Beis, Yesh Mekilim, Yesh Machmirim. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's mutter, and the Chazon Ish disagrees. Why does he disagree? Because look at the case of the stone on top of the barrel. Right? It sounds like we're machmir, that the stone on top of the barrel is muksa, right? And we follow machmir view over there. It doesn't sound, sounds like even though like the whole week you were maybe using this stone to cover your barrel, still awesome. You'll need something, at least yichud li'olam. So that's the basics of this halacha. I saw an interesting discussion in Orach Shabbos. Could you be miyached a coin? So Pashup Shad is, what's the answer? So is it unusual? Yeah. So if you have Yichli Olam, it should be good enough, right? That's what one would think. That's what I would have thought. But he quotes the Chazon Ish that says Yichli Olam doesn't work over here. Why? Come on. You're not going to really be miyached a coin. You're going to end up, I take my penny and I miyached it as a measuring device to check summon for a gris. But what's going to end up happening is it's going to end up with all my other coins, right? So therefore, you need a Maisa. I remember a number of years ago, I read this Archo Shabbos, and so I wanted to have a penny, so I needed to make a Maisa in the penny so I could use it on Shabbos. So I got I made a hole in the penny. And then...
How did you do that?
What? So it's not stealing. You're saying
less than
you're not allowed to. It doesn't apply to coins. Yeah, the haraya, they have all those things in the shape, right? It's very nogeya because when you do when you need to do a viewer, so you have to destroy your coin once every 3 years. So the first time I did that, I was very nervous. I was going against the law, and then I realized that that's only for bills, not for coins. The haraya, those machines. But don't you can't use a penny for that because it might not be a shavar puta. And nickels are very hard to destroy. The first time I tried doing it, they're much very bigger and fat. So dimes are very easy; they're flimsy. The easiest way to do it is with acid. But anyway,
Rebbe.
Anyway, 1 second. So there you miyached a coin. Let's say I decide, like, there's always machlokes in my family. Who's going to sit next to my wife? Right? All the kids, nobody wants to sit next to me. But everybody wants to sit next to my wife. So I say, you know what? I'm going to take this quarter and I'm going to designate this as a coin flipper. And we'll flip. You know, do you get to sit, you know, heads or tails if you get to sit next to her? I'm going to designate that. So Pashup Shad Yichli Olam should work. The Chazon Ish says, nah, that doesn't work. This quarter is going to end up with all your other quarters. So L'chora, though, that's what the Orach HaShavuos says. Let's say it's not going to end up back with your other quarters. Let's say you have a coin collection. Right? You collect those quarters with the states on them. You get all 50. So then that's going to be okay. You know, even the Chazon Ish would agree. He's just saying that the Yichli Olam has to be a realistic Yichli Olam. In other words, Yichli Olam means that you're actually going to, this Kli is going to be a Kli Olam. It's a coin collection, yeah. The coins in your coin collection are probably not going to end up back in your wallet. They might, but that's not that wouldn't make you violate the normal rules of a Yichli Olam being sufficient. Okay. Good last word. Good question.
Isn't the Ramah mekel by meaning? Isn't Yeshiva Miba Od Yom a Maisa, not a Yichud?